Good Erev Shabbos. Today's daf in Chulin is Zayin Gimel. We're in Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're immediately after the Mishnah. Let's just review the points in the Mishnah. Mishnah brought down a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding a woman. Sorry, the Mishnayos. What's it called? That's my mistake. But the Mishnayos kept going back and forth between animals and humans. But we're back to animals. Okay. Sorry. Reset. The Mishnah told us that an animal that's having difficulty giving birth and the limb of its fetus is now protruding outside of the mother. And so the Mishnah made 2 points, one which is agreed to by everybody, and the second one is up for debate. The point that's agreed to by everybody is that if the hand extended and that arm was cut off, and then afterwards you shech the mother together with its fetus inside, so then everything is geshechted. Everything is good. What about the limb that was cut off? It's not going to affect the fetus inside at all, because at the time that it was cut off, the fetus and the animal was alive, and we know that animals that are alive are just simply impervious to tumah. Period. Okay, that's the part that is easy. Now we get to the part that's a little bit more complicated. Same scenario, but just we're going to switch around one of the sequences. Well, the first thing that's going to happen is that after the fetus's limb is extended outside of the mother, so then the animal was shechted, and then the limb is cut off. Now, we already have discussed since the beginning of this parak, going back to Samaches, that the limb is prohibited, meaning that the limb was not inside of the mother, and so therefore the shechita of the mother only was able to produce a shechita for the fetus inside, and not for the limb that's outside. That's clear. But what is not clear is the following. Now that the limb did not benefit and enjoy the shechita, so now, what is the status of that limb? And this is now a subject to a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chacham. Rav Meir is of the opinion that the limb at this point in time now is going to be considered a limb of an animal. It is dead. It did not benefit from a shechita. Therefore, it's a nevela. And as far as the rest of the meat is concerned, what is the rest of the meat now currently in contact with? A nevela. So as far as the basar is maga nevela. It comes into contact with nevela because that limb is considered nevela. And that is Shita's Rav Meir. The Chachamim say, no, for sure you're not allowed to eat that limb. That limb has the status of a trefa, but it did benefit from the shechita in that. Just like if I were to shecht a trefa, so that animal now, although you're not allowed to eat it, is now been rescued from being a nevela. Same thing is going to be true with that protruding limb. That protruding limb, even though you can eat that limb, it did not benefit from the shechita vis-a-vis achila, but it did benefit from that shechita vis-a-vis, it's not going to be an avatuma, it's going to be trefa. Trefa shechuta, it's going to be considered like shechta treif. And then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, as long as we're here and discussing this machlokus, how do I know in general that if I shecht a treif animal, that such a shechita would prevent it from being a nevela? And the Mishnah went over the back and forth on that particular point, but the Gemara says, but that's in fact, of course, the halacha. The halacha is that if you shech the trefa is not going to be, the animal is not going to be a nevela. It will be treif, but it's not going to be a nevela. And as far as the protruding limb is concerned, a machlok between Rav Meir and the Chacham, and whether or not the shechita is going to help that limb from becoming a nevela or not, or it will not help it from becoming a nevela. Rav Meir says it doesn't help, and the Chacham says it does help. Adkat. That is the Mishnah that we went over yesterday. And the Gemara's question over here now is as follows, Amai. The Gemara starts off with the following question. Why should it be that the basar ubar is going to be tame? Because now consider. Now before we start with the Gemara and the question of Beis Starim, so we are about to explore a discussion in the Gemara of what's called Tumas Beis Starim. So let me make the following points. In terms of transmission of tumah from one item to another, so as we know, when you have an avatumah, it's a source of tumah, so it is going to transmit tumah to another item, right? Another kli, another food. We're talking here about food, so let's keep our comments just limited to foods. In other words, the meat of the fetus inside. When we're talking about transmission of tumah, so transmission of a nevela can be done in one of two ways, maga or masa, either through contact or through carrying. Let's right now focus on contact. When we talk about contact, so what exactly does that mean? The Gemara assumes that in order for there to be a transmission of tumah through contact, it has to be through surface area. And what I mean by that is as follows. Imagine with this pencil over here was to be an avatumah, so it was only going to be able to transmit tumah to another item if the other item came into contact with any of the surface area of this pencil. If, however, it did not come into contact with surface area, but rather, let's say I were to take the pencil and break it in half, And the contact would be now an anterior area. Now, you understand, by the way, that's a little bit complicated because when I break the pencil in half, I exposed interior area. Isn't that interior area now considered surface area? Meaning, once the pencil is broken down to two, so now the portions that were at one point in time covered are now going to be exposed. And so, can I make the argument that it's surface area and not interior area? You could make that argument, and in fact, the Gemara in just a moment is going to make an argument similar to that. I'm just giving right now kind of like an intro in terms of how exactly to look at Tumas Maga when we're making contact. It has to be with surface area and cannot be any contact with interior area. The Gemara says, so let's now consider. I have a fetus where, according to Rav Meir, the limb that's exposed, that's extended outside the mother, is an avela, and the rest of it that's inside is basar shchuta. But they're touching. But how are they touching? They're touching only through interior contact. They're only touching, they're only making contact through the interior and not exterior, not through surface area. I guess, again, if we could try to like look at this as a limb, I guess you could say that the surface area on one side is touching the surface area on the other, but the Gemara's assumption right now is that contact is done strictly through the interior, and this is what's called base hastarim. And Tumas Maga is not communicated and not transmitted through base hastarim, through interior contact. And with that stated, the Gemara now obviously is posing a problem. Even if, Rav Meir, you're right, the limb outside is an avela, and so what? It's not touching the fetus inside through exterior contact, but only through interior contact, and that should be called Tumas Beis Hastarim. And the Gemara asked the question, Amai, Tumas Beis Hastarim he, v'tumas Beis Hastarim lamitamya. So the Gemara says, Lema Rav Meir latame ditnan. So the Gemara says, okay, but I think, however, that we can construct an argument that Rav Meir may disagree with this point entirely based on the following. We're going to be learning a Mishnah together, and admittedly, it's going to get a little bit complicated right now in this Mishnah, but only complicated when you don't know the basics. If we go through the basics, I think we can navigate through the Mishnah pretty well. When we have a garment is susceptible to tumah. Now, in terms of the dimensions of the garment, so we say that, generally speaking, you need a garment to be gimel etzbos by gimel etzbos, 3x3 finger widths. It's about an inch. So for our purposes, I'm just going to say 3x3 inches. Okay, it's roughly a good idea. So if I have any swatch of fabric that's 3x3, so that is going to now become susceptible to tumah. It is significant enough where it's mekabel tumah. Now, before we go any further, let's reintroduce ourselves to Tumas Medras. If I have a Zav, Anita Yoletis, whose Tumah is coming Megufo or Gufa, so that means to say that they are not a Tumah, but they have an interesting and unique Tumah transmission, and that's what's called Tumas Medras. If they sit on something that's meant to be sit on, so the item is going to become Tumah to the same degree that they are. So they are not a Tumah. The item they sit on is also going to be an avatama. And here, not only, the two chidushim, not only is the item going to be tummy to the same degree, but even if there's no actual physical contact between them and the item themselves, if you, let's say you have 10 cushions, one on top of another, and a medras sits on the 10 cushions, all 10 of them are going to be tummy with an avatama. This is tumas medras. Now here, in order for a fabric to become susceptible to tumas medras, it has to be made so that, number one, it has to be made for sitting, and two, in terms of the dimensions, it has to be 3x3 tfachim, not its bows. Now, in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, when you read it, so how do you know when we're talking about tfachim or its bows? It would have been easiest, to be honest with you, if the Mishnah would just simply say tfachim versus its bows. Okay, I'm admitting that would be easiest. However, I'll tell you a trick. It's been taught to me a long time ago. It's a great trick. When you see the word shlosha, so it's talking about tfachim. When you see the word shalosh, it's talking about etzbos. And here now, I take us back to our elementary school education. Shlosha is masculine. I know that's a little strange, but by numbers, that's how it works. Shlosha is masculine. Shalosh is feminine. So tfachim is masculine. And etzbos are feminine. So far, so good? Good. So now, in order for something to be susceptible to tumas medras, it has to be 3x3 tfachim. And obviously designed to be sat on. And here now, the Mishnah describes the following scenario. Did not. We're learning the Mishnah together. Shlosha, shlosha. So let's say I have a swatch of fabric that's 3x3 tefachim. Shenechlak. And it got divided, got split into two. So now, what happens now? It's certainly the two patches are certainly larger than, each one of them is certainly larger than 3x3 its bows, meaning a tefach is about 4 inches. So 3x3 tefachim, dividing it to half, I'm certainly going to have two swatches of fabric that are going to be greater than 3x3 its bows. However, because I took it and divided it to half, it is no longer subject and susceptible to Tumas Medrus. Now, Tarmina Medrus, Aval Tame Maga Medrus. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So it's going to be no longer a Medrus, but what did it do? It touched Medrus. What does that mean, it touched Medrus? Consider, I'm not going to do this with my Gemara, but if I were to take this now and rip it into two, so what happens as I'm separating them is that at the moment of separation, so they made one final contact before they separated. Now, where was the contact? Interior, not exterior. Rav Meir says, because of that, so that the way we're going to view these two swatches now, this divided patch of 3x3, tefachim, is that we're going to view them as if they were touching a medrus immediately now before they became immune to becoming medrus. So they are, according to Rav Meir, Maga Medrus. They touch Medrus. But the contact, if you think about it, is only on the interior, not on the exterior. Now that's important, and hold that thought for just a moment. Now we have in the words Vitanya, let's take that word out, right? In other words, this is just simply a continuation of the Mishnah. Am Rav Yosi v'chibe eze medrus nagazeh. I don't understand, where was the contact? Right, where was the contact? Elashim naga bozav sheyetame magazav. There was no contact. The only way that these two divided patches of fabric are going to become tameh is only if the Zav himself made actual physical contact with the fabric. Now, that means as follows. As I explained in the beginning, when it comes to a medrus, it is going to become tameh as long as the Zav is sitting on it, even though there is no physical contact. And again, the chidushim are two. One, same degree of tumah. Two, you don't need physical contact. Now, what if the Zav actually made physical contact with his body to the piece of fabric? So this fabric now, in addition to being Tumas Medrus, it is also now Tameh because it actually touched a Zav. Zav is an Avatuma, and now this fabric is going to be, it may have come into contact with a Zav, so it now is going to be Tameh. But there's a big difference between Medrus sitting on the fabric versus actual touching. Sitting on the fabric makes the fabric a Avatuma. Touching it only makes it a Rishon Latuma. It's a big difference. So the now there is a, if you want to take a deeper dive into this discussion, which we're not going to do right now, there is a discussion, if let's say the Zav sat on it and touched it, so is it going to have both Tumas, Tumas Medrus and Tumas Maga Zav? Now that's a little bit strange because once it's Medrus, it's like already it's satiated with Tumah. Right. Can it then receive a lower level Tumah as well? What if I flipped it around? What if he first touched it, then sat on it? Would it have the lower level Tumah and the higher degree Tumah? So, admittedly, that's a deeper dive. We're not going to go there. But just understand, though, that's certainly something to think about. In the meantime, however, what did we learn from all this? What we just gained from all this is that, according to Rav Meir, when I take it and rip it into two, because it touched one another right before it detached from each other, so therefore that's considered magas medrus. And to the, which the Gemara says, now wait one second, it didn't make contact on the exterior, that was interior contact. And Rav Meir says, but that's still considered contact. So just like separating the two swatches of fabric, one from another, according to Rav Meir, is considered contact, same thing over here with the limb. The outside is the nevela, the inside is tahor. But because they are touching, even though they're touching only internally, so therefore it's going to be considered magas nevela. That's the argument of the Gemara based on this Mishnah we just run together. To which the Gemara says, we don't have the full picture yet. Lavit marla amar ula lo shanu elo shlosha shlosha shenechlak. So the only debate between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yosi that we just learned together in the Mishnah Kalim is only if the patch was exactly 3x3 that are divided into two. Aval shalosh al shalosh habaus mi beger gadol b'shas pishasam me'aviyim mekabos tuma me'aviyim. So hanami b'shas pishasam me'aver mekabos tuma me'aver. However, if let's say you had a small swatch of fabric that was broken off, an extraordinarily large piece of fabric that was tumas medras, there is no debate in the Mishnah. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are going to agree that what we have over here is contact. Now why? Rashi over here explains, Rashi explains why. The last Rashi in the Amud. Avagim ha'atzmos ha'bam mi beged gadol, sh'ayatami medjas v'chatchomi mena shalosh etzbaos tahor, ha'chatich ha'ketanim mena medjas she'in ba'kishir, v'tamim ha'ga medjas afilu Rav Yossi. So, the according to Rav Yossi, it's going to be tamim medjas. If the small patch is broken off of a large patch, for the following reason. The Amar ein maga chibar maga da habes astarmi, ha'chamodem. Here he'll agree. Mishum, he meaning Rav Yossi. The bishas prisha somi aviv, yevshal etzamtim shelo yiga ma'at ma'at, uvishas prisha eno besestarim, umekabel tuma me'aviv, sheish bar shir avatuma. Because when I'm just ripping off a small swatch of fabric, off a very large swatch of fabric, so what we have over here is not just base hastarim contact, but rather we have surface area contact, superficial contact, meaning, if, like, I go back to my pencil, and I make a clean break of the pencil, so there we can make the argument that the only contact that existed was only internal contact, not superficial contact, not surface area contact. But when I'm tearing just a small piece of fabric off of a very large piece of fabric, the chances are, and I say chances, meaning the way Rashi says it happened, that you did have, in fact, surface area contact, and there's not going to be any disagreement, both Rav Yossi and Rav Meir would agree that it would, in fact, be considered contact, surface area contact. Same thing over here. Mm-hmm. In our Mishnah, when I have a limb off of a fetus, now granted, by the way, the fetus is not a large entity, but still, a small limb of a large fetus, there has got to be some surface area contact. That is one way that we can learn our Mishnah, and so therefore the question of Beis Hastarim does not become a question anymore. The Gemara gives a second answer. Ravina Amar Beged Lav L'Chaticha Kai. Ravina says no, that when it comes to a Beged is not easily divided and separated, meaning a fabric is a strong entity. You want to create separation between the two, you're going to have to either tear at it very strongly or use some sort of instrument. However, Uber L'Chaticha Kai. But when you're talking about limbs of an animal, they are meant to be separated. Now, over here as well. Meaning when we say meant to be separated, it doesn't mean that they're just simply you can easily pull it apart, but eventually when it comes to a dead animal, so eventually what we're going to do is, especially if it's kosher, we're going to take it apart. So it's omed lachtoch. It stands to be cut up. So v'chol omed lachtoch chachtoch dami. So anything that stands to be cut up is considered as if it's already cut up. And the Gemara now is making the following argument. When we're now basically giving redefinition, this is Ravina's response. We're giving redefinition now to what is considered superficial surface area versus interior. Now again, I talk about my pencil and I'm breaking my pencil. When I break my pencil, it was not meant to be broken. So the contact that I'm now exposing is considered interior contact because it was never meant to be broken. But when you're talking about anything that is meant to be separated, so that separation is not considered Beis Hastarim, but that's considered surface area. When I exposed it, it was meant to be exposed, and therefore, it is going to have the status of surface area. That's Ula's understanding. Now, the Gemara says, that's interesting. Kaman Karebi Meir did not. Now, the Gemara says, now, there is an opinion that sounds like that, and that's the Shita of Rav Meir, but as the Gemara is going to point out, he's going to be a singular position on the following. We're learning now another Mishnah here in Mikvos, 10th parak of Mikvos. The Mishnah says, Kol yados hakelim shein aruchos v'asi lekatzasan matva makom mida divrei Rabbi Meir. Again, in terms of girsas, we have a slightly different girsa, but the point is going to be the same. And then v'chachamim amrim, I'm reading the parentheses, but achi yad bils kulo. I have a kli with a really long handle to it. The handle is not going to be this long eventually. In other words, let's say the handle is 2 feet. I don't need a 2-foot handle. I know that eventually we're going to cut it down to 1 foot. And now this kli, I'm going to tovel in the mikvah, either for it maybe because it's the first time usage, in other words, it was manufactured by a guy, or maybe because it was tameh and I want to be mitar it. Whatever the case is, I'm going to tovel in the mikvah. In terms of the handle, how far down does the handle have to go into the mikvah? Your two options are either all of it, or just to the part that I know is going to be the usable handle of the kli, and not the additional foot that I know I'm going to cut off. Reb Meir says that I'll tell you how far I have to tovel the mikvah into the. I'm sorry. I'll tell you how far I have to tovel the kli into the mikvah, only up to the part that I know I'm going to use. The part that I'm going to separate off is not considered part of the kli. But that's Rav Meir Shita. And not everyone is in agreement to that. Rav Yehuda in that Mishnah says that you have to take the kli and dip it all the way into the mikvah and the entire handle as well. It's omei lachtoch. I know I'm going to cut it, but that doesn't matter. Currently, it's connected. Currently, it needs to go into the mikvah in its entirety. Just give me, please, a moment. Let me just finish the thread. So the Gemara says, afilu tamei, the Gemara says, no. The truth of the matter is that I don't have to confine our discussion to that discussion over there, mikvahs. Afilu tamei rabbanan. Chebura ochlin kamandim efrit edame, unigia ba'adade. So the Gemara says we're going to make a distinction between food and a kli. When it comes to food, so we say that kol ha'omei lachtoch kechatoch dami. That because we are planning on separating the food, so we are now going to consider all interior connections, once cut, is now considered surface area. Why? Because I was planning to do it. It is food. It is the nature of food that I plan on separating it. So all now exposed areas were considered omed lachtoch, and therefore kechatoch dami. When we're talking about a kli, however, it's hard. Even if I plan on separating it, so it is not considered as if it's separated prior to me actually doing so. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our two answers to our question. Now let me just finish up to the two dots. So, Bishlam alu'ula haina dikani chatcha. Ella ravina my chatcha. So the Gemara says, now according to Ula, so I understand why the language used in our Mishnah is specifically chituch, meaning, because according to Ula, it really is going to be contingent on whether it is divided or not divided. But according to Ravina, Ella Ravina, my chatcha. So the Gemara says, but according to Ravina, why do you need actual chituch? Meaning Ravina introduces to this idea of kol ha'omed lachtoch kechatoch dami. So I don't need to actually divide it. Because I plan on dividing it, that now makes it by definition surface area. And so therefore the contact should result in tumah. So the Gemara says, you're right, I did the tana resha chatcha, tana nami sefer chatcha. And it could just very well be that the Mishnah over here has the word chituch only because of contrasting the first case of the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah. In the first case of the Mishnah, I cut it off before I shechted it. There, you have to cut it off before you shechted it. Meaning that's the case. But in the second case of the Mishnah, you're right. You don't need actual chituch. Even prior to chituch, it's considered contact, a surface area contact, because since I plan to detach it, it's considered as if it's already detached. According to Rabbi Meir, right? Meaning we knew that, but we're asking in terms of the contact. And Ravina is teaching us that is considered contact. It's not surface area because we plan on separating it. That's ke'ilu as if we already separated. Okay, yeah, Ben.
Regarding to the handle of Rabbi Meir, right? So, how does he handle the idea that if you're not cutting the handle, even though you plan to cut later, when you drop it in the water, that area that is attached to the handle is not again exposed to the water?
It's an excellent question. Meaning you have a chatzitza. Right. You have a built-in chatzitza. Right. Okay, good. I don't have a response. It's a great question. Okay. The Chachamim Omrim Maga Trefa Shchuta. Now the Chachamim say that limb of the fetus that was extended outside the animal is not an avela because it was connected to a fetus that was inside the mother that benefited from the Shchita, and so therefore by associative property, so the limb outside is considered shechted. Not shechted to the point where you can eat it, because as we learned, there's an Isser Minatora, Basaba said a Trefa Lo Sochelu, so it is outside, it's not inside, so you can't eat it. It's treif, but it's treif that shechted, and therefore it's not a nevela. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. The language of the Chachamim is interesting, and the Gemara is going to spend just a moment talking about the language of the Chachamim. It is considered basa trefa shchuta. Trefa shchuta mimetamya. So the Gemara says trefa shchuta, it's not tame. Why not just simply say tahor? Why go through the why go through the effort of having to describe it as trefa shchuta? Now I would simply suggest, by the way, before I get to the Gemara suggestion, I would simply suggest just to clarify that you can't eat it, meaning that just to remind us that even though it's not an avail, but at the same time it's, you're not allowed to eat it. I would offer that as a simple suggestion, but the Gemara, right? But the Gemara, however, offers an answer that reveals another halacha. The Gemara says, "V'chachamim magad trefes shchuta, trefes shchuta mimetamya in." So the Gemara says, "Do you know that trefes shchuta does give off tuma?" Now that's interesting. How can that be? It's not an avela. It's shechted. So the Gemara says, "Kedavu d'shmol damar avu shmol trefes shachta mitame b'mukdashin." So the Gemara says that when it comes to kachim, so because of its extra level of kedusha, it becomes more susceptible to tuma. Even though may ikar hadin, any trefa that shechted is not a nevela and not going to give off tuma, but because we're dealing with kachim, so because of mala asu b'kachim, of the extra rigors and the extra sanctity that is regard to karbanos, so therefore basar trefa is going to be metame kachim. I would suggest on a derabban level, not on a deraisa level, but again, that is what we get from there. So in other words, there is a degree, it's small, but there is a degree of tumah that comes from trefa that shechted. Okay. Mamatina trefa sheshechta mitarasa afshkita behema titar es ha. Now we have the word ubar, but it should read aver. Fine. Tanya. Here the Gemara is going to give us a braisa. And in the braisa, basically, we're going to be hearing, again, more dialogue between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding the status of the limb that was extended outside of the body of the mother. Amalam Rav Meir v'chi mi tiaro le'ever zeh midi nevela shchita simo im kein titarena b'achila. So Rav Meir turns to the Chachamim and say, you think the shchita worked for that limb that was outside? You really think so? So let me ask you a simple question. If it's going to prevent it from being a nevela, why not eat the limb that is outside, if you think the shechita was so good? So the Chachamim say back to him, so you know that sometimes it's able to rescue something that is not part of its body, more so than part of its body. A response said that at this point in time is hard to understand, so stay tuned. Consider the Mishnah that we learned together at the beginning of this parak, where if, let's say, a spleen or a kidney of the mother was detached from the mother, still in the body, but detached from the mother, so as we learned already, that's Avram and Achai, and therefore, you, even though you shechted the mother, you can't eat her spleen, you can't eat her or her kidney. And meanwhile, when it comes to the fetus, as long as the fetus is inside, detached from the mother, so then the fetus is going to be permitted. Good. That's the Mishnah. We made this point already earlier in the Perek, at the beginning of the Perek. But in the course of this dialogue, how did all this become part of the discussion? Meaning, what does that have to do with our discussion? My Kamar, which is the Gemara's very next question. What just happened in the Braisa? Rava says, some say it's attributed to nobody, or that's the name of another Amora, but this is a way to understand the Braisa that we just learned together. Amalam Rabbi Meir v'chi mitiyar le'ever zeh midi nevela shchita simo im kein titarena b'achila. So again, exchange number one. Rabbi Meir says to the Chachamim, you like that shchita so much for the external limb, so why not eat the external limb? Good, that part we got. Amru lo trefa tochir sheshchita sa mitarasa midi nevela ve'ena matirasa b'achila. So here now, the response of the Chachamim to Rabbi Meir is this such a foreign idea? Meaning, if you have a trefa, so what do we know regarding a trefa? You shecht the trefa, you can't eat it, it's a trefa, but you've rescued it from being an avela. Same thing with the limb that's external. It's not so hard to understand. So Amalahem, so Rameir's response is, lo, im tirah shchita trefa osa davashi gufa. And here now, this is Rameir's response to the Chachamim. Oh, trefa? You're arguing now trefa? You can rescue a trefa from being an avela if we're talking about shechting the animal itself. But But you're talking about the limb that's external. And how can the shechita of the mother help a limb that's external to the body of the mother? And amru lo. And now we get to hear the response, and not just hear, but understand it. Now the chachamim say back, harbe matzal sashena gufa yosem gufa. Sometimes the shechita is more effective for something that is external to the mother rather than something that's part and parcel of the mother herself. Because consider the Mishnah that we learned at the beginning of our perek. Spleen and kidney that's detached, shechita is not going to help it. Fetus that's detached but still inside, the shechita will help it. So you see that sometimes shechita is more beneficial for something external than something internal. Now, when I say external and internal from the first Mishnah, I mean external to the body of the mother, meaning the fetus. Over here, admittedly, it's a bigger chiddush because not only is it not part of the body of the mother, it's not even in the mother. So understood that over here it's a bigger chiddush, but still the Chachamim are using this as a model, as a platform to show that shechita can help with the fetus more than it can help with its own organs.
So then you should be mutar
b'achila. So you're back at Rav Meir. That's Rav Meir's argument. But the Chachamim says, look, I know it's treif. I agree it's treif. But if I shecht the treif, it's okay. Here too, I'm shechting a treif, and therefore, it's okay. Okay meaning it's not an avela. Tanyanami Hachi, the Gemara now is going to quote a braisa, and I'm going to read this quickly because we're going to basically review everything we just said. Amalem Rav Meir v'chi, miti arulei v'zeh, midi nevela, amalo shechitas imo. So again, back and forth. The Chachamim say the shechita of the mother is able to salvage and save the fetus, the external fetus, from being an avela. So im kein titar nebachila. So why not eat it? Amrlo treifa tochich shechita samataresa mide nevela veina matiraso bachila. And the Chachamim say, what happens when you shech the treifa animal? It's not an avela. Amrlahem im tiar shechita treifa osa vima eva medu daba davishigufa. So I understand that a shechting of a treifa is good for the animal itself. But the fetus, and specifically the extended limb of the fetus that's outside the mother, and here the Chachamim say back to Rav Meir, sure, yes, because sometimes shechita is actually more effective for the fetus than its own organs. Because and again, the contrast between the mother's very own organs versus the fetus inside. Okay, Adkan. Let's go on, and I'll stay afterwards for questions. Amar Rav Shimon Malakish. Now, we just had a debate regarding the fetus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, where the fetus extended a limb outside, and whether or not the shechita of the mother is going to be able to at least prevent that external fetus from being an avela. Again, the Chachamim says it can prevent it from being an avela, and Rav Meir says that it cannot prevent it from being an avela. Once it's outside, it doesn't benefit from the shechita at all. Good. That is a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and that's a given. Now, for a good part of the rest of today's daf, I take it back. For the rest of today's daf, so we're going to be discussing now the following. What is going to be the status of a limb that is tenuously hanging on to the animal? Okay, not that pleasant to think about, but if let's say you have an animal with a limb that is medul dal, it's hanging on, but not by much. It's a tenuous connection. And so now I shech the animal. Is that shechita going to be good for the Aver HaMedul Dal? And basically, is that Aver HaMedul Dal going to have the same status as the fetus's limb that is outside of the body? How connected or disconnected is the Aver HaMedul Dal to the animal? And when I say connected or disconnected, the question over here is, how tenuous a connection? Meaning, right, I'm sorry for not giving a really clear definition of what we're describing over here, but just to say it the way the Gemara is saying it over, it's medul dal. It's hanging on, but it's not really connected.
Did you have that somewhere before?
And we're going to discuss it at length. But in the meantime, according to Reish Lakish, the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding the Ubar is going to also be the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding an Aver. Rav Yochanan Amar, no. But machlokis be'ever de ubar. Aval be'ever de behema de ve'akol, shechita osanipo. Now, in our first version of Rav Yochanan, he makes the argument that if, let's say, we have a tenuous limb of the animal, not the fetus, of the animal itself, and I shecht the animal, so that shechita is going to cause immediate detachment of the limb off the animal. And when I say immediate detachment, I don't even mean immediate detachment. Meaning we're going to assume that it detaches immediately prior to the shechita, and therefore it doesn't benefit at all from the shechita. That is Shitas Rav Yochanan, and he thinks, Rav Yochanan, in our first version, that Rav Meir and the Chachamim don't even argue on this point. Now, I'm Rav Yosef Rav Chanin, my time to Rav Yochanan, Liba de Rabbanan. So, the how does that work? Meaning, what is the basis of the Chachamim according to Rav Yochanan? So, Ha'islay Tekana B'Chazara, Ha'islay Tekana B'Chazara. Meaning, what is the difference between the fetus of a what is the difference between the limb of the fetus versus the limb of the mother? Why should there be a distinction? And the Gemara over here says, interestingly, because the limb of the fetus, there is a way of remedying the situation because it can retract and go back into the mother. Now that should make you curious, because did we not learn at the beginning of our perek that once the limb of the fetus is out, that's it. It's treif, period. Even if we're to come back. So I'll remind you at the beginning of our perek that this was a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. What I just said is the shita of Rav. Rav Yochanan, however, was of the opinion that once it comes back in again, it is now back to where it originally was. And it doesn't have the status of treifa. And right now we're explaining the shita of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says that that's the difference between the fetus of the limb of the fetus versus the limb of the mother. The limb of the mother, because it's medul dal, because of its tenuous connection to its mother, that's it. Meaning, there's no way of remedying the situation. Meisvei the Gemara, however, does not like this first version of Rav Yochanan, based on the Braisa we learned just a couple of minutes earlier. The Braisa said, towards the middle of our Amud, and the Gemara now is just going to refresh, Amalem Rameh lo, im tiyar shchita trefa osav es ha-evra ha-medul daba, davar shegufa, titar es ha-ubar, davar she'enu gufa, in the exchange between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So Rav Meir says to the Chachamim, I don't understand. If Shechita helps out the animal and the suspended limb and the dangling limb, which is part of the animal itself, but we're talking about the fetus, which is not part of the animal. Now, if you listen carefully to that line of Rav Meir, so Rav Meir is basically equating the animal and the dangling limb. And he's arguing to the Chachamim, well, I know, don't you agree with me in that case, where it's part of the animal? Now, over here, Rav Meir is saying that to the Chachamim because when you're arguing and you're presenting an argument, so you're going to start at a point of agreement and then move to a point of disagreement. What was the point of agreement in this line of Rabbi Meir? You and I both agree that with a dangling limb, that's part of the animal. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, didn't he say that everyone agrees that with a dangling limb, it's not part of the animal? And if I were to shech the animal, that dangling limb is considered disconnected? So the Gemara says, Vishlam al-Resh Lakish, we now are on the top of the next Amud. The Amud Beis, Vishlam al-Resh Shimon ben Lakish l'divrayim kamar lo l'didi lo shna, eva du bar v'lo shna, eva de behema, ki adadi ninu. Look, according to Resh Lakish, I understand this part of the exchange, because Rav Meir is saying to the Chachamim, look, according to you, there is a distinction to be made between the aver of the mother and the uber of the mother. That's fine. But for me, there's no distinction. However, el Rav Yochanan kasha, but according to Rav Yochanan, I don't understand. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, the aver hamaduldal, according to Rav Yochanan, is agreed to by Rav Meir and the Chachamim that it's disconnected when you shech the animal. And so how can Rav Meir then use that as a point of argument between him and the Chachamim? To which the Gemara says, Ella i'idmar hachi i'idmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're basically going to have to revisit the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And here now the Gemara is going to be giving the second version of the machlokas. So Amar Rav Shimon Malakish machlokas b'ur mekach machlokas b'ivarim. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, nothing changed. Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing about a limb of the fetus that's extended outside the mother during Shechita, and Rav Meir says that is ois, it's totally out of the mother, that's nevela, and the Chachamim say no. It's treifa, but it's benefited from the Shechita. They are, according to Reish Lakish, they argue about that case, and they argue about Eivra HaMadulda. Good. The Avraham Adul of the mother herself. They agree. According to Rav Yochanan, according to Reish Lakish, just like they disagree regarding the limb of the fetus, they disagree regarding the limb of the mother. Okay. And now according to Rav Yochanan, Machlok is Be'evra de Uber. Aval Be'evra de Behemer de Verakol, Ein Shchita Osa Nipo. Now according to Rav Yochanan, a dangling limb of the mother, Yeshech the mother, so that limb is considered not separate from the mother, but part of the mother, and that limb isn't actually now going to be considered a kasher limb, meaning it was shechted, according to both Rav Meir and according to the Chachamim, meaning it's the guf ha-behema. And by the way, now you go back to that brisa, and now you understand. Rav Meir and the Chachamim, the exchange now between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, it's very smooth. Because Rav Meir says to the Chachamim, you know, by the Avraham Adudal, you and I both agree that's guf ha-behema. The Uber, on the other hand, the fetus, that's not guf ha-behema. And you can't compare the two. Okay, good. So anyway, so this is now Rav Yochanan Shita in version number 2. And what the Gemara is basically going to do for the rest of the daf, if I could say it succinctly, is that this is the better version of Rav Yochanan. This is the one that is more corroborated by other Amoraim. And let's see this now inside. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, my time to Rav Yochanan, Liba de Rav Meir, Hai Gufa Vai Lav Gufa. Now, as far as the distinction, according to Rav Yochanan, for Rav Meir, between the fetus of the, I keep doing that, between the limb of the fetus and the limb of the mother, so as far as what's the difference? Meaning, the limb of the fetus that's outside of the mother, Nevela. The limb of the mother that's hanging on by a thread still is considered part of the mother. But the difference, the Gemara says very clearly, very succinctly, is that the fetus is not part of the mother. And now that there's a limb outside, it's really not part of the mother. And therefore, it doesn't benefit from the shechita at all. It's a nevela. Masha enkein, a dangling limb, part of the mother. Good. Now, Amar of Yitzhak Bar Yosef, Amar of Yochanan, hakomodim, shemisa osenipo, vein shechita osenipo. So, Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef says in the name of Rav Yochanan, and here's where we have corroboration, everyone's in agreement, meaning Rav Meir and the Chacham are agreement, that if I have the animal dying with a dangling limb, so that dangling limb now is considered separated and detached immediately prior to the death. I will explain that better in just a moment. I will explain it better in just a moment. The ain't shechita osa, you're asking the right question, but I'm anticipating. The ain't shechita osa nipo. But if you shecht the animal, so the dangling limb is considered part and parcel of the mother, and so therefore it was shechted. Now, b'mayiskin, first a point of clarification. Ilema be'ever du'ubar miflek pligi. We're not talking about the limb of the fetus because it's a machlokas. It's the Mishnah that we saw in yesterday's daf. So that's not open for discussion. In terms of the statement of Rav Yochanan, they agree, they don't agree. We know that. Ela be'evra de behema. So the Gemara says we're talking about the limb of the mother. Now, the Gemara is going to be bothered because this statement of Rav Yochanan, that when we're talking about the limb of the mother that's dangling, that's meduldal. So under these circumstances, if you shecht it, good. The limb is connected. If it dies on its own, the limb is considered disconnected. Now, the difference, I will try to explain in just a moment, between shechita versus misa, meaning in terms of why, in one case we're viewing the limb to be connected, the other in the other case it's considered disconnected. The Gemara is going to be bothered because, seemingly, these points of Rav Yochanan are going to be Mishnah that we're going to be learning later in the Masechta, much later in the Masechta. But in the meantime, however, let me just spend a moment going over what's the difference when the animal dies on its own without a shechita, whether it's considered connected or disconnected. In other words, it's nevela, right? And here, this is a point we're going to be making later in the Masechta at length, but let me just quickly go over it now. I take a limb off of a live animal. So that limb off of a live animal is called what in halacha? It's Eiver Min HaChai. Eiver Min HaChai, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, is an avatama. Now, don't confuse nevela and Eiver Min HaChai. I know it's confusing. But don't confuse it. Nevela is when the entire animal is dead. When the entire animal is dead, the animal now is a nevela. And what does that mean regarding tumah tahara? It means that now the animal, the edible portions of the animal, are an av hatumah. It's a source of tumah, and you have a kezayis of that animal, you eat a kezayis, well, you don't have to eat it. Touch a kezayis of the animal, carry a kezayis of the animal, so that is now, you're going to be tamei, because the animal, as an avela, is an avatama. Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai is also an avatama. You rip off off a limb, off of a live animal, so that is also going to be an avatama. But only as an aver. Now, when I say only as an aver, it means as follows. That only when you have the full composition of the limb, that includes the meat, the sinews, the bones, only the full composition of the limb, then and only then it's going to be tummy, as an avatama. If, let's say, you take a limb, you rip it off of an animal, and then you take some meat off of that limb, that meat is not tummy. It's not an avatama. Because the avatama of Avram and Achai is only when you have the full composition of the limb. Everything I just said comes out of Rashi, which is coming out of the Gemara later on. Good. So now, I have my animal with a dangling limb. If I shecht it, we say that the dangling limb is considered connected, and so we're good. If the animal dies on its own, so then Rav Yochanan says it's a davar muskum. Everyone agrees that the limb is considered detached before the animal died. Therefore, based on everything I just shared with you, therefore, the limb is not nevela. Now, it is an avatoma because it's Avram and Achai, but it's not nevela. What's the difference? The difference is that if I take a piece of meat off that limb, so that piece of meat off the limb is not an avatoma because it's not nevela. It's Avram and Achai. Hopefully that was clear. Let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Misa Tanina Shchita Tanina. These two points of Rav Yochanan are actually coming out of Mishnah that we're learning later in the Masechta. Misa Tanina, Misa Behema, Habasa Tzarech Hechsher. Ve'Avra Matami Mishum Avra Menachai. Ve'na Matami Mishum Avra Menavela Divra Meir. So as far as when the animal dies, and the context of that Mishnah, it had a dangling limb. The animal dies, as far as the dangling limb is concerned, it's Matami. But why? The Mishnah says clearly, because of Avram and Achai. It's not Tameh because it's Avram and Anavela. And even though the Mishnah says Divrei Rabbi Meir, but Rashi over here points out, as we'll see later on in the Masechta, there's no argument. Meaning this is agreed to by everybody. But anyway, so we already see that that when an animal dies with a dangling limb and without the benefit of a Shechita, that limb is considered detached. Now, I would suggest, by the way, just in terms of understanding why that should be, so in other words, when you're shechting an animal, so you are cutting off its life nearly instantaneously, meaning pretty close to instantaneously. So that means to say that the dangling limb, even though it's a tenuous connection between the animal, but nevertheless the shechita terminates the life quickly, and so therefore that limb is considered connected at the point of death. Masha Enkin, when the animal dies on its own without a shechita, so that obviously is a more drawn-out process, and so therefore, the limb that's tenuously connected is viewed halachically as detached before it died. That would be my currently best explanation of explaining the difference. The next Mishnah we're learning together is actually same location. Later in the Masechta, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, the Mishnah there says, Shechita Nami Tanina. Well, the Gemara introduces the Mishnah. We know about Shechita because of the following Mishnah. Nishchata Behema Hukshira B'dameha Divrei Meir. If you shecht the animal with a dangling limb, so, in order for that limb to become tameh, do you know what that limb needs? Hechsher. It needs hechsher. Divrei Bimeir. Rav Shimon Amar lo hechshera. Now, is it going to become hechsher by virtue of the fact that blood is all over the place, blood touched the mother, let's leave it as animal. The blood touched the animal. So that means to say that the animal shechted, so obviously it's not an avela, it's not Avram and Achai, it's shechted. And so in order for the meat of that animal to become mukshal kapatoma, it must come into contact with a liquid, but the liquid's right there, it's the blood. What about the tenuous limb? Is that also mukshar? So according to Rabbi Meir, yeah, because the tenuous limb is connected to the animal. Rabbi Shimon over there says, no, the limb, because of its tenuous connection, even though vis-a-vis the halachas of shechita, considered shechted. But vis-a-vis the halachas of Hechsher, it's not considered enough of a connection where it too is going to have experienced Hechsher.
Doesn't Rabbi Shimon himself say that Shechita is Machsher?
That's a very good, an excellent point. But okay, in other words, in terms of connection, it's not considered Hechsher. E me'ahi, so the Gemara says like this. Good. the question on the table right now is a technical question, but still. The question is, Rav Yochanan has just taught us that when we have a dangling limb and you shecht it, limb is considered connected during Shechita. If it died on its own without Shechita, the limb is considered disconnected. The only problem we have right now is that these two points are Mishnayos that we're learning later on. Rav Yochanan, what did you introduce us to in the entire discussion? What novelty have you produced? The Gemara says, I'll tell you. If all I had was the Mishnah over there, I might have made the argument that the word hukshar is only going on the meat of the animal, but not necessarily the limb. The Gemara says, really? It says, they are mukshar l'kabel tuma, seemingly going both on the animal and on the limb as well. So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, well, I could have argued, these are all havaminus. I could have argued that even though it says in the plural, we're talking about me coming off of the animal, me coming off the limb. My oma dehai mehai. So the Gemara says, okay, and why would I have needed to mention both? Because sagadat chamina hol metami tomas chamura agav aviv emaloli by hechsher kamash malan. The Gemara introduces us to a really interesting havamina. Let's consider that the limb is aver menachai, meaning it's not. Okay, I know this is why the Gemara over here is a little bit complicated, because the bottom line is it's not aver menachai. But for a moment, let's entertain the idea that it's aver menachai. Okay, that limb, a dangling limb. Now, if it's aver menachai, so as I explained earlier, so aver menachai is an avatoma, but only with the full composition of the meat, the sinews, the bones. Good. Now, if I had to take meat off of that aver menachai, that meat is no longer an avatoma. Because it's not nevela, it's only Aver Menachai, but only has the status of Aver Menachai in its full composition. Once meat's been separated from that Aver, that meat is not an avatoma. But let's at least make the following argument, and this is what the Gemara is introducing us to. Well, even though the meat is not Aver Menachai and it's no longer an avatoma, so in other words, but it's meat, and so what do we know regarding meat? In order for it to become susceptible to tuma, it needs hechsher. Over here, can we dispense with the hechsher? Like, we don't need hechsher over here. Now, why not? Because it came from something which originally was an avatuma. So it was a source of tuma. Now, I know it's not a source of tuma anymore. But at least let's make the argument that because originally it was an avatuma, so it doesn't now, at this point in time, now that it's detached from the aver, and it's no longer an aver menachai. But let's at least say that it doesn't need hechsher, meaning, historically, it once upon a time was a source of tuma. And now you're telling me that it's no longer a source of tuma and it still needs hechsher in order to become susceptible to tuma? That's the havamina. The maskana is, you're right, that's right. Meaning that once it's detached from the limb, it's no longer a source of tuma. So it is not aver menachai, it's just a piece of meat. And now, in order for it to become tame, it needs hechsher. And if we didn't have Rav Yochanan, that's how I would have understood the Mishnah over there. Comes along Rav Yochanan to teach us that no, that the dangling limb for Shechita purposes is considered part of the mother. And let's just wrap up the daf today. I'm Rav Yosef, Nakot Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Biyadecha. So the Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, who is giving the version of Rav Yochanan that we just learned, Shechita Eino Osa Nipol, Misa Osa Nipol, that's the correct version of Rav Yochanan. Contrasting to the original presentation of Rav Yochanan that we saw on the bottom of Amud Aleph of today's daf. How do I know that that's the better version? Because again, like I said earlier, more corroboration. The Rabbi Bar Chana Kai Kavase. I know the Rabbi Bar Chana agrees as well. The Tanya will enter the Brisa. Ubasa basada trefaloso chelu lavi aiver vabasa madudalim bebehema uvechayiva ov vishachtan shehein asurin. If I have a dangling limb, so of an animal, those dangling limbs are prohibited. Why? Basar basada trefaloso chelu. It's external. Now, if I just had that brisa, here's what I would have said. You shechted an animal with a dangling limb, the brisa just taught us, you can't eat the limb. It's asur. Now, what do you mean? Didn't we just learn that a dangling limb for shechita purposes is considered connected? So, let's continue. The Amar Rabba Bar Bachanam Rav Yochanan, Ein Bahem Ela Mitzvahs Prosh Bilvad. This is not describing over here Nisa D'Araisa. From a daraisa standpoint, that limb, even though dangling, it's considered connected. Even though the braisa quoted a pasuk, it's just an asmachta. But you, in other words, but really, mi'ikir hadin, one would be allowed to eat that dangling limb. But as a chumr derabanan, and I'd say for obvious reasons, because the limb was dangling, it didn't look connected, even though halachically it is considered connected. So as a chumr derabanan, one should not eat that limb. Now, what did we just learn together? Is that this is said in the name of Rav Yochanan, clearly indicating that for shechita purposes, the dangling limb is considered connected. This is the correct approach of Rav Yochanan, the more corroborated approach of Rav Yochanan.